know, I have many friends that I can call on at any time, and they will be there for me. Some are family. Most are not family. Most are not blood kin. They're just friends that I've known over time. Some are here now that I've been able to build relationships with since I've been here with you all over these last 3 years. It's easy to build relationships with man and woman, boy and girl, classmates, our workmates. A lot of times that's not really a struggle. It's not very difficult at all, because we find those commonalities within our lives and we build that bond, we build that relationship. We find a way to strike up conversation because of the very things that we share in common. A lot of times we work really hard on our earthly relationships. We work hard on building friendships. But how hard, how much effort do we put forth in building a friendship with God? The crowd here this morning is quite pleasing to me. I really thought it would be a low crowd because of this weekend we're a part of. Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people use this time to kind of kick off the summer, to go on vacation. I know many are probably on vacation this weekend, and a lot of you are here for the special occasion we had here this morning through this baptism. But as these two individuals understand in their lives that they were sinners, they were in need of cleansing, they're now friends of God. And that will never change. That is one friendship that's not going to ever fail. And I think that's the one friendship that we do not work on the hardest. It's the one that we neglect. And I think that we neglect it because we truly do believe in our hearts that God is always going to be there for us. And so we can kind of neglect Him and know that we can come right back to Him because He's going to be there. But that's not what He wants. He's not going to change. He's still going to be the God of all gods. He's the Lord of the lords, the King of kings, and He's still going to be your friend even when you decide you don't really need Him that often. Myself included, we become selfish. We use the word now entitled. We say that specific groups in our communities, within our societies, feel entitled. I think a lot of times we as Christians feel entitled. We feel that we're entitled for God just to bless us and to do good things for us because we're a child of His, and we believe that. God will continue to use you and bless you, but that's not what He wants. It's not a one-way street friendship. It needs to be a two-way. Coming and going. You striving to please God. You striving to live a life that will bring Him honor and glory, and He continue to pour His blessings upon you. Unfortunately, in our world, in our society, even in this little town of Kershaw, even in this church here today, we don't work on the relationship of being a friend of God as we should. We need to make sure that we give Him our all. Because think, if you didn't, we wouldn't have had a moment like we had together this morning. There would be no need for baptism. There would be no need for salvation. And unfortunately, many people already feel that way. They don't feel that there's a need for baptism or salvation. What does that even mean? To be a friend of God is a friendship like no other. I promise you, as long as God allows me to be at this church, I'm going to fail many of you time and time again. Our deacons are going to fail you. Teachers are going to fail you. They're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail one another. But God will never fail me. Countless observations through the book of Old Testament and New, we see how faithful of a God we serve. And this takes us to our scripture this morning, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12. As you know, through the last several weeks, we've focused on the importance of faith and how we need faith and how without faith we truly cannot survive as believers in Christ. Those who claim to believe, or those who even claim not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are just wandering through this world helplessly, with no control over anything. And you and I have no control under our own power. But we do know that when we surrender our hearts and our souls to God Almighty, He is our controller. He is our sustainer. He is the one who orchestrates our lives to fit His needs, not what we need. And so here in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. You may be seated. May God have blessed the remainder of this service. If you were to go back and read Genesis, beginning in Genesis chapter 11, you will find that Abraham was considered to be a friend of God. And then what a compelling title or label that is, to know that God considered you to be a friend of his. We look at the life of Abraham, and do we dare say that that's what he deserved? Do we feel that he deserved to be a friend of God? Do you feel that Abraham deserves such a title, to be called a friend of God? But then we think about it, as I already posed the question to you, do any of us really deserve, are any of us really worthy to be called a friend of God? And of course we know that without our own powers and our own strength that we think we have, we're not worthy. But the day in which you called the Lord to come and live within you, you became worthy because of his promise, because of his faithfulness, because of his obedience. You became worthy. You became a friend of God. 2 Chronicles 27 says, "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever?" Isaiah 41:8 says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend." And then James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham," listen to this please, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." So his believing in God granted him his righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. We can take this very same scripture and apply it to our lives today. McKinnon and Isaac can apply this to their very lives today. They are counted righteous because of their obedience. You are considered to be a friend of God. Now, looking back at verses 8, 9, and 10 of Hebrews chapter 11, we see something very important that's taking place here. That key word that we've really focused on all throughout the study in Hebrews is the key words, by faith. And you know, what's so important is we must realize, you remember the stories from when you were a child and you heard the stories told of Abraham and told of Sarah. But remember, Abraham was 74 years old when God called him and his wife Sarah to leave. 74. Could you imagine the age of 74, you who have maybe been living a life of retirement and have enjoyed the life that God's blessed you, and at 74, God tells you, "I need you and your wife and who else is with you to pack up and leave to a foreign land? Do it for me." Oh, how reluctant we would be. How reluctant I would be. The age of 74. Abraham's willingness to be faithful led him to many great blessings, both from a material point of view, which was not the reason why Abraham did it, but he was blessed materialistically. He was also blessed in a far greater way. That was spiritual blessings. Think about how many spiritual blessings you and I have missed out on because of our unwillingness to serve Christ. Whether you are a secret server of Christ behind the scenes or whether you're at the forefront, how many of us missed a golden opportunity to prove our faithfulness unto God? Abraham's faithfulness to God also led him to bring forth spiritual blessings to others. And that's something else that you've heard me say countless times before. You may think that you're only hurting yourself when you're not serving God because you feel, well, it's just my life. It's only affecting me. But the sad part about it is when you are neglecting to be a servant of God, you are missing out on the opportunity to reach others. What does it tell us in the Gospel of Matthew? We're to go and make disciples in the world, throughout the world. Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And FYI, we're the Gentiles. That we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith. There's that important word again. How do you receive the Spirit? Through faith. By faith, you receive the Spirit. There's no other way that you can obtain the Spirit. The ultimate blessing unto Abraham and all of his descendants would be the coming of the Messiah. Aren't you glad that Abraham chose to be faithful? Look what it rendered us. Galatians 3:8 says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.'" Abraham's obedience was very evident. And I want you to remember one thing very important. If you don't remember anything else from today's message to you all, it's simply this, that it takes faith to be obedient. And it takes obedience to have faith. One cannot come without the other. Not true faith, not true obedience. If you would look at verse 10 of this same chapter, please, of Hebrews chapter 11. A very powerful verse here, one that should really motivate you to really think about the life that you're living now. It should really motivate you to think about what your purpose is. Verse 10 says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now, as you know, we just wrapped up our study of Revelation last Sunday night. That's what we've talked about. That's what we've longed for. We are told, we've learned, number one, we're the overcomer. We've learned that we're to watch expectantly. We're to look forward to that new city that's coming down. Not the one that's going up, but the one that's coming down. Whose maker, whose hands, not by your hands, not by my hands, created by God Almighty's hand. How important is that? A powerful verse to know that through faith, Abraham knew that his real home was not really in the form of an earthly inhabitants. Abraham knew through faith that his real home was that heavenly city built by God Almighty. Hebrews 12:22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." You want to be a part of that city? You got to be a friend of God. There's no other way. Revelation 21:10 says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit," speaking of John, he's being carried away in the Spirit, being carried away in the Spirit of God. Said he carried me to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out from heaven, from God. Can you imagine that? Being John, taken up in the Spirit, and being able to look down at that heavenly city, that city that was built by the hands of God. John got to see it. If you're a friend of God, you too will be able to see this very same city. You will be a part of the city. Not only will you see it, but you will dwell within this city. A Christian's mindset must be as Abraham's. Our citizenship is not here in earth, but it is in heaven. As we've already discussed this morning, we know that we're just traveling through. We're the pilgrim in this world, a lost and dying world. The world may be lost and dying, but those who call upon the name of the Lord, souls, song for God, but then you had a ceremony where you were not as faithful, or you were impatient, and you didn't wait on God. And I really do feel that this is why this is given to us within the scripture here today, to remind us that even though you may lose your faith, how easy is it for you to regain it? Because God never fails. And even though Sarah failed God with her impatience, and then even lied to God, what did he do? He forgave her. What did he do? He fulfilled his promise. Why? Because he's faithful. We are to be faithful just as our God is to be faithful. We are to be obedient just as God is obedient to the very word in which he's given us. Sarah committed herself to the Lord and she trusted in her husband. And at the very age of 90 years old, she gave birth to Isaac. 90 years old. You remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about Noah, and you remember how long I told you it was estimated that he had to continually work on the ark until the flood came and the rain failed. How many years was it? Do you remember? Estimated 130 to 140 years that Noah worked on the ark. And now here we find Sarah at the age of 90 going to give birth to a child. Her child. Conceived within her womb by her husband, Abraham. This is why our faith is so important. This is why it's so important for you to be obedient unto God's word. That one time where you choose not to be obedient could be the very one time that you could miss out on the greatest blessing in your life. Now you think about that. To live to be 90 and have to wait that long to receive that ultimate blessing. And you may think, well, I can't wait that long, God. I need your blessing now. It's simple. Turn to him. Repent unto him. Ask him to rain his blessings down upon your life because you believe in him and you shall receive. God has already made that very promise to you. He will take care of you. He will sustain you. He will provide for you. He will deliver you from life's empty promises. As I said, I can stand here and tell you all the things that I hope to do and all the things that I want to do for you and the things that I want you to do for the church. said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be, speaking of Father Abraham. Genesis 22:17 says, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Genesis 32:12 says, for you say, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now think about that. Think about if you were going to the beach today and you were just to scoop up a bucket of sand. How many countless grains are in that one bucket? Now think about all the sand on all the shores around this entire world. That was the promise given to Abraham. How many descendants he would be blessed with. This has come to fruition. Abraham was blessed because of his faithfulness. Our closing scripture this morning is 12:01 this afternoon. Romans 4, verses 13 through 18. If you would turn there, please. Romans 4, 13 through 18. For the promise, he would be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Underline that. Remember that. Not by the law, through righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Looking back at verse 17, it says, who gives life to the dead? We don't think about our lives in this manner, but prior to Isaac and McKenna asking the Lord to come and live within their heart, they were dead. They were spiritually dead. Now they're alive. Before you made that profession in your faith, you were dead. You were guaranteed to experience a second death because you had no relationship, because you were not a friend of God. When you come unto the Father, that second death has been abolished. Those chains have been broken. The promise has been given. The key words that we've studied through this last several weeks is the word faith, the word grace, and the word obedience. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? Aren't you thankful that He is so faithful to His very word? Until the day in which you have been called home, He's faithful. And then your faith will come to fruition when you see your Jesus face to face. Do you watch expectantly? Do you long for that city coming down, that new Jerusalem? Are you a friend of God? Being a friend of God blesses us beyond all measures, but yet requires little on our part. God promises an autonomous relationship. It is of the law, but it is based directly on the principles of faith. Remember that. Obedience and faith and obedience, you've got to have them both. The promise rendered unto Abraham has not expired, nor will it expire. And this promise, praise the Lord, knows no specific race. It knows no specific socioeconomic status. It does not care of your job. It does not care of your wealth. It does not care of your health. It does not care of your skin color. All that matters is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that you know that He died for you and He wants to be your friend. present us to come into your house to worship. God, I thank you for this special day. Lord, we think of Memorial Day weekend. We think of it as a time where we get together with family and friends. We maybe cook out. We just sit back and relax. God, I thank you for every man and woman who has served this country, who willingly gave their life so that we can enjoy the freedoms of this world, Father. But God, as we discussed today, we are not of this world. We thank you for these men and women and their sacrifice, God. More importantly than any sacrifice that could ever be made, God, we thank you for your Son's sacrifice, who gives us the ultimate freedom of life eternal. And Father, I just pray today, young or old, Father, if there's someone here today who just needs a moment to give their life to you, to rededicate themselves to you, God, may today be the day. Father, we rejoice in knowing that McKenna and Isaac has made this choice, God, and they're young and they still have a lot of life left in them. But God, I just pray that as you allow them to grow, they never stray away from your word. Father, that if anything, they grow closer and closer to you with every passing moment, so they too can go and win this lost and dying world to you, Father. May they be the disciples you have called them to be. May they share your love and your gospel everywhere they go, whether it be through their smiles or through kind acts or their words. Father, I pray that you use them in a wonderful and mighty way. God, I thank you for all who are here today. Lord, I pray that there's not one who walks out these doors today and does not know, who has no doubt in their mind that they are a friend of you, God. Because of your faith, because of your obedience, you have made us righteous. May the day be the day, God. Oh, Father, I pray that you just forgive us where we fail you. And Lord, as we are getting ready to sing now, may every one of us turn our eyes to you, God. In your holy and precious name, I do pray.